Hey, Nerd Talk Nation, this is your host, Jordan Halstead, and co-host, Micah Current. We're so excited to be talking about one of the greatest Marvel, and honestly, greatest comic book movies that has ever been created. We're going to be talking about Avengers Infinity War. You thought I was going to say Morbius, but I didn't. So, with that,
I thought you were going to say Age of Ultron.
I know. I was like, let's just go ahead and throw one of our fallouts real fast and just say what's on the list. But no, seriously, Infinity War will go down forever as one of the greatest comic book adaptations that has ever been done. Mm-hmm. I stand by that. I think that when it comes to characters, they've done really well with castings. They've done really well with some storytelling, but they've never been able to pull off a comic book adaptation so well.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. So let's start with this. Going in with fresh eyes when we saw it back in 2018.
Yep, 2018.
2018, spring of 2018. Were you excited going in and coming out of that film from the first view? What were your initial thoughts?
Well, let me even go back a little bit further. Like, I remember being at work and seeing the trailer drop and was like May, I think it was like, it came out like May the 4th or something, like May of 2018. And I was like, man, May can't come here. So I remember sharing the trailer on my Facebook and I was like, man, May can't get here soon enough. But you know, going into the theaters with kind of, you know, the eyes wide open approach as we try to do, I had high hopes for this film. Coming off of one of my favorites, Thor Ragnarok, and it's, you know, it picks up right where Thor Ragnarok leaves off. And
there was only one film in between being Black Panther.
Yes.
Because that was February of 18.
Yep. And so, but as far as the story goes, the actual, how they told the story, how the end of Thor happens.
Literally and, picks right up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So Thanos catches up to Thor and the ship of the folks from Asgard heading towards Earth, and it just kind of picks up right where that leaves off. And you kind of see that in the post-credit scene of Thor Ragnarok, and it's like, oh, something's about to happen, right? And so, going into the theater, I was like, man, I had high hopes for this. And I think, you know, diving right into it, like, you know, it wasn't really a concern, but one of the things that I stand by about this film is that, like, I don't know of a better film that had so many different storylines going on within one film and it all tied together and they did it well. Like, you had, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor here, and then you have the folks in Wakanda, you have the folks on Titan, you have all these different team ups, right? And we've talked about the different, you know, fantasy teams that we would book, like, especially, you know, once we get to like Secret Wars and things like that. But like, I thought it was really cool when, you know, Thor runs into the Guardians, and then the Guardians kind of like, they bring him in, they figure out who he is, and then they split up, right? So Thor, Rocket, and Groot go so he can get the axe, and, you know, Quill and Drax and Gamora and Nebula all, you know, end up on Titan, and they run into Doctor Strange, and they run into Iron Man, and they run into, you know, the whole bit. You've seen it 100 times, I've seen it 100 times, but like, I just can't think of a movie, can you, where the team ups were just matched so perfectly and the story just made so much sense?
No, you know, I would say it felt very Ocean's 11-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where they kind of have to like break out and do certain projects in like smaller groups. But it perfected it. And I think this movie specifically, I think, was a culmination of what Marvel had done, where everyone got their own solo stuff and then would come together. And then they split out and they come back together, and then they split out and they come back together.
Well, like, a great example of that was like, sorry, a great example of that is where, like, you know, the Guardians run into Iron Man and Doctor Strange. They don't know who each other are at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's exactly where I was leading into, is just, you know, those moments where you've got different characters forming versions of the Avengers, and everybody, like, the Avengers really weren't a thing in Avengers Infinity War. Like, they'd already broken up. This is just a bunch of Avengers characters coming together for a movie. There was never a moment where Steve Rogers comes in and is like, Avengers assemble. Like, it's not anything like that. There's not really a team of Avengers. And I think that was what was really cool about this moment, was this movie handled a story where they're like, okay, the Avengers are not together. Like, at the very beginning, when we see Bruce and Tony, he's like, no, like, the Avengers broke up. We're toast. Like, that's not a thing anymore. He's like a band.
Yeah.
And like, they set the stage very early on, and it's kind of every man for himself. So in an Avengers movie, it felt very much like we all split out and did our own things.
And one of the brilliant things about that, I mean, there's 1,000 brilliant things about this film. One of the brilliant things, and I just thought about it, Jordan, as you were talking about it, but like, I think it was absolutely brilliant that they kept Tony and Cap away from each other.
Oh, absolutely.
In Infinity War, because, you know, he ends up on the ship, he ends up on Titan, you know, Cap's in Wakanda, you know, he's in Europe, and then he ends up in Wakanda, and they're on the battle on Earth, and, you know, Tony's up on Titan, and then, you know, they don't even see each other until, you know, the snap happens, and then, you know, an Endgame when...
it's literally a whole movie without them ever seeing each other.
Right. And then, you know, like you said, that he mentions to Bruce that the Avengers are toast and they've broken up. And like, even Thor, when he's with the Guardians in space, he's like, you know, the Avengers. And then the Guardians are like, who the heck are the Avengers? And they're like, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. And
is so Kevin Bacon on there?
But like, it like hints at the Avengers, like from all angles. Right. And then, you know, they're all split up. And it, like, even when Tony is in space with Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, like, he's like, congratulations, kid, you're an Avenger. And he like, kind of knights him.
And he knights him, yep.
Yeah, because he always wanted to be one. But like, yeah.
But it's really funny because it's like, the Avengers don't even matter at that point because they're not a thing. And Tony even said so prior to that moment.
Well, so I guess, I don't know if I answered your question, but going in, I was like, I had high expectations for this film.
I know when, okay, so this is right around the time Katie and I were already married, and we just really, this was a moment where we weren't watching Marvel movies together anymore. It just became too much for her. For a while, she would go and see them with me, and then she was like, I'll just wait till they're out at home. Like, I can watch them at home. You buy all the movies. It's no big deal. And so I went and I saw this. I think I saw it with Casey. And we just were blown away by it. And we were like, oh my gosh. And I think I even took students to go see this movie. Like, I watched it, and like 3 days later went back and saw it again at the theaters. And I'm like, this was such a good movie. The one thing that really, I knew it was coming, but I didn't expect the way it happened, was the snap at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was not expecting the Avengers to lose. Like, take a hard hit, absolutely. Take a few casualties, 100%. But to lose, like, I'd never seen that before. And I was like, oh, shoot. Like, what's about to happen here?
And I thought I've equated that a lot to almost, like, you don't see that at all, hardly. But, like, the only thing that I can really equate it to is The Empire Strikes Back. You know, Star Wars, they were, like, kind of left on a cliffhanger. And it's like, all right. Luke got his arm chopped off. Han Solo is frozen in carbonite. You know, Darth Vader's reigning supreme, and the Empire's winning. And oh, by the way, we got Return of the Jedi. It's coming up. Everything's going to be great. It's going to be fine. But like, at the end of that film, at the end of Empire, like, you just see them looking out into the galaxy, like, what are we supposed to do now? Like, everything.
They're kind of licking their wounds.
Right. And so, like, kind of the same thing is with Infinity War, you know. I think you had to have such a big loss to have such a big payoff as they did in Endgame.
Oh, absolutely. And for Endgame's final battle to have such a, we're coming together. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Just the one moment where there's the dun, 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 dun. And like, everybody's like coming through these portals. It's like, yeah, dude, Thanos, you're about to get your butt handed to you. And like you said, the payoff could not be near as big without the sacrifice that had to happen.
I told Alicia too, like, it was funny because we, you know, we saw this in the theater, and at the end, like, We're just like, oh no, like, and everybody's just getting snapped, right? And even in the post-credit scene, you know, Nick Fury gets snapped, and you know, that's
mother,
how
and then
yeah, they set up Captain Marvel that way, which I thought was great. But I looked at Alicia and I'm like, crap, I gotta wait a whole year to see Endgame.
That was gonna be the next question I was gonna ask, was from the time that this happens until the payoff a year later, like, how many times were you watching that movie? How much did it affect you as a comic book movie fan?
Affect me how? Just
like in day to day, did you ever just be like, I can't wait for Endgame? Like were you ever at moments where you're just like, I really want to know what happened? Like, did that ever like hit like your day to day thought process?
I don't think it affected my day to day thought process as much as I thought about how are they going to tell the story to pay it off. Not so much like, I want to see the movie, which I did. I wanted to see what they were going to, like, friends of mine, you know, that I work with over in, you know, higher ed at Miami, like, we would talk all the time, like, what's going to happen? How are they going to do this? Like, you know, like, one theory was like, sort of like how we've joked about how we want a Captain America series when he goes back and takes the stones. And he like, he, you know, we want to see that journey like played out on the screen. I think it would, like, one of the theories we had was like, well, what if they go back, get the stones, and they do that way instead of going back and snapping and just undoing the snap that Thanos did? You know, either way, I thought it was brilliantly done, but like, we just, to answer your question, I don't think it was more or less, oh, I got to see this movie. It's a year. I can't wait to see this movie, which I did at times. I was like, I can't wait to see Endgame. And I remember, I know how, what the, you know, what a difference a couple of years makes, but like, I remember like freaking out because I wasn't sure I was going to get tickets for opening night to go see Endgame. And
oh, I know. And now theaters are empty.
Yes. And, but yeah, I was more like, what are they going to do and how are they going to do this? Like, moving forward after, you know, are they going to bring people back? They're not all dead. They can't all be dead. Like, you know, and it was interesting too, to like how they played into the Gamora thing and the time travel, and, you know, was kind of a waste once we get to Guardians 3, if you ask me. But, yeah, there was just so many different ways it could go. And, yeah, what did you think? I'm like, were you, I mean, obviously, I think I know the answer to this, but what were you thinking, you know, leading up after seeing
I think it took way too much of my life. I think I thought about it way too much.
Well, can you say that you've ever seen a movie where it feels like, have you ever seen a movie that was so good, but it feels like it kicks you in the stomach at the end? And you're like, now what am I supposed to do? Like,
I've never had something sit so hard on my mind when it came to entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and for as long as it did, because the reality is, like, we didn't even have a kid yet. And it played into my mind, like, okay, do I, as a father one day, go in and do I want to be the guy who's, because I watched this guy who talked about this. I thought this was a jerk move, but I laughed really hard. He's like, well, when I have, or my son's not going to be allowed to watch Infinity War and Endgame until a year. Like, there's going to be that year distance, so that way he knows what it felt like to go through it in real time. I was like, that's such a jerk move.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned the snap, but so what did you think of like kind of the build to Endgame? I know we're really focusing on Infinity War. We're kind of like talking in the middle and after, but you know, we see at the end in the post-credit scene of Infinity War, we see Nick Fury get snapped and the whole pager drops. But then even when you get to Ant-Man and the Wasp, when Scott goes into the quantum realm, Hank and Hope and their mom all get snapped, and Janet all gets snapped. And then, like, once we get to Endgame even, you know, we see Hawkeye's family get snapped. What did you think of like this continuation of the snap through these projects up until we get to the Endgame moments?
Well, okay. So we got the snap and seeing people blip through the end of the second movie, or not the second movie, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp. But then, like, it even continues even into Phase 4. Because, like, WandaVision.
Or they come back.
Bring them back. Yeah. And then, like, into Hawkeye and Far From Home. Like, seeing them all just start coming back. And it was unique and different. And I liked how they handled the blip. I wish they would have just called it the Snappening. I hate that they didn't run with that name. I wish they would have called it that, not the blip.
I just remember Alicia and myself in the theaters going, oh no. Cause like you're invested in these characters and then like the snap just continues throughout these films up until, you know, a certain point. Like you don't see it nearly as much once you get to Endgame and beyond, but like after the
you had two films that it directly impacted, but it showed I guess it even got into Endgame because you saw Hawkeye, because there were two missing elements in Infinity War. That was Hawkeye and Ant-Man. Well, Ant-Man had a movie coming out, and the very first scene you see in Endgame is Hawkeye. And so you see this happening, and I'm like, man, they really wanted us to hurt after all this. Yeah. I was devastated watching that the first time, because I'm like, okay, you're going to have to figure out which characters you're going to not use. And that was hard. That was really hard for me to see them choosing to not keep Groot. Like Groot was a hard one for me. Spider-Man was a hard one. Cause I was like, man, no, like I know that they're contract. I know they're going to be back, but it's like, how are you going to handle this? Like this hurts. And then to see a 5-year time jump. Oh, that was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the hardest person for you to see get blipped?
That's a great question. Maybe Spider-Man, just simply because, you know, he's saying, Mr. Stark, I don't feel good. So good, Mr. Stark. And then he just kind of, you know, he dusts. And then, like, when we get that payoff in Endgame, when you know, they come back and Tony is just so like genuinely happy to see him and that he's okay. Cause he blamed himself. He blamed himself for that. And we see that throughout the first part of an Infinity War, I'm sorry, an Endgame beyond. So beyond the snap and everything, but like probably Spider-Man.
Okay, so I feel like we're just gonna rabbit trail into this, and I've got questions now about the snap, and I'm gonna rattle a few questions off, but I do want to say I think one of the other hard ones for me was watching.
We're talking about all the sad parts of this movie, but go ahead.
I know. Okay, so this is gonna completely derail a little bit, and I need you to just follow me down this rabbit trail.
It's what I do in everyday life with you. Besides,
that's very true.
Okay, offline, so, off recording.
The snap. Thanos snaps his fingers, and what happens?
Half of existence gets blipped.
Half of all sentient life gets blipped. But it's so that way people can thrive, more food could be available, things like that. Like it's not like all life, it's like a sentient being, half the population. So this is where I sit with this. What happens when they get blipped back? They show right back up where they were left off, right?
Yes.
From where they went. Okay. In real life, and even I'm going to, you know what? I'm not going to say in real life. I'm going to say in the MCU, what happened to people who were blipped on airplanes or air travel or travel in general? Boats, planes, automobiles. When they blip back, where do they blip?
I don't know. Air? Ocean?
So my question is, do they blip back in the seats? Do they blip back in the vehicle?
I would assume the vehicle.
Well, what if the vehicle, you blip back onto an airplane that's flying because it's back up in the air 5 years later, Or what if it's decommissioned or it was destroyed? Or like, there's so many things that go through my head that should not waste this much space in my mind.
I tell somebody at work, I'm like, you're thinking too hard about it.
Yeah, that's where I sit with this, but I want to know.
And here, well, you're probably not going to get the answer.
Oh, I'll never get the answer from this. But here's the other question. What happens to fetuses in the womb? This is the ultimate question here. If a fetus is in the womb and half of life gets snapped, does this count as one life between the mother and the child? Does the baby get snapped and then 5 years later the mom's pregnant again? Does the mom get snapped and the baby doesn't?
Or the baby, or the mom gives birth to a baby that's 5 years old.
He's just right there. Like what happens in those situations?
Jordan, that's why you have to just suspend your disbelief. That's what makes comics great. That's what makes movies great and TV shows great.
Is that we don't have to have the answer, that we just live in a world of pure imagination.
Well, I think that we... That's... you know, the imagination is key, right? I mean, there are things that I would truly want to know the answers to, like not in Infinity War, but just like in the MCU in general. Like, I don't feel like they develop stories fast enough. I feel like they just leave certain things hanging out there to dry. And it's like, okay, I guess we'll revisit them later.
Or they hope we forget. Yes. Yeah.
Shang-Chi, where are you? I don't know.
Don't get me started on that one. All right, so reeling back into Infinity War, do you feel that Gamora's death was necessary? Thanos chucking her off the ledge, do you feel like that was necessary?
Yes.
Why?
It just... My straight answer is that it proved that he loved her like one of his own.
Okay.
The logical answer is, well, a soul for a soul. And, you know, he was like, well, you can only get rid of somebody that you truly love. Same thing happened with Hawkeye and Black Widow. Like, he loved her like a sister. There wasn't anyone romantically involved, but like, he loved her like, you know, his own flesh and blood. And, you know, they weren't going to go down without a fight. However, that was the rule for that stone to.
So I think there's something deeper about that stone specifically here. When you look at the comparison, because I think they handled this so well, and I think it gets slept on really, really hard with this. Do you really think that we lost Gamora or that Thanos lost his own soul in that moment?
Probably his own.
Because I think about this, like, he kind of became more distant in that moment. Like, he didn't, like, it was like playing with a very different Thanos at that point. And then he sees Gamora at the very end as the child Gamora, and he's just like, or she's like, what did it cost you? And he's like, everything. And the comparison here is with Black Widow and Hawkeye. Hawkeye's fighting for his own life to be the one sacrificed. It's a very different thing where Thanos grabs Gamora and chucks her off, where Black Widow and Hawkeye are fighting to sacrifice for each other. Like, they're willing to lose their own life to protect the other. And I think that it's such a beautiful story element because it's like, you know, Thanos is not just like, I think that was the point of there's no hope for Thanos now. Like I think that's what differentiated him from all other villains. Like someone said, you know, this is going to be this generation's Darth Vader. Well, one, no, this generation's Darth Vader is Darth Vader. It will always be that way. But the iconicness of there is no redemption for Thanos. And then immediately, the first time we see him in Endgame, Thor goes for the head. Like, I was expecting that Thanos to be ready to fight. I thought that was going to be the Thanos we were facing, and I didn't expect time travel when we got to Endgame. But for Infinity War, I just feel like the capturing of the Soul Stone was he was giving up his soul for a stone that was the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of deeper meanings behind some of that. And I love the way they told that story.
Well, I also think, too, like the whole, you know, what did it cost everything line, you know. I think when Doctor Strange is on Titan and he talks to Thanos and he's like, you know, what you're doing is genocide. And what are you going to do after that? And he's like, you know, rest on a grateful sunrise or something like that. He said those, you know, rest. And, but you could tell it took a toll on him, even though like we, as the viewers, didn't agree with like, hey, you're literally killing half of all humanity in the universe. Like, it kind of goes back to the whole the Darth Vader conversation, like, were the Jedi wrong or were they right? I don't condone Anakin killing anybody, but like, he had a right to be upset with them. And so,
no, I condone it. Slaughtered all the children, the women, the children,
the younglings. Everyone.
Well, I was talking about the sand people, but yeah.
And the sand people. Too. That was episode two. I was thinking more episode three, but, you know, Thanos is a completely different story with the whole idea of, you know, he just, you know, when you look at the end of the movie, when he just sits there and he kind of just is like, well, it's done. It's finished. I, you know, did everything I was supposed to do. It's no wonder he didn't fight once Thor got to him, you know, in the beginning part of Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
And I've often said this too, where, you know, I'm watching Infinity War, and if I watch them back to back, because sometimes I do that, and I watch the first 20 minutes of Endgame, I'm like, why didn't they put this on the end of Infinity War? And then, you know, the other part, like, you know, why did they just do 5 years later at the beginning of Avengers Endgame? And
that's fair.
But, you know, I really love the scene where Tony and Nebula are on the ship in space, and, you know, Captain Marvel rescues him and Nebula and takes them back to the Avengers compound. And that whole scene is, that's probably my favorite Robert Downey Jr. moment, acting wise, is when he's losing his mind after being stuck in space and after realizing how much he lost to Thanos, and he rips his little chest piece off and he hands it to Cap and he's like, you take that and you hide. And he just passes out because he is just so weak and so fragile and so ruined. And like, if you look at him, like from a physical stance, like he had to lose a lot of weight for that. And so he looked skinny and he looked frail and he looked pale. And like, I'm using all these ale words, but like, he looked super defeated. They all did. But like, you know, where were they going? Oh, the beginning of Endgame. Like if they would have chopped that off, the whole portion of where they're going to space and they go see, you know, Thanos, and, you know, Thor kills him ultimately in the beginning of Endgame, and they put that at the end of Avengers Infinity War. I don't think the loss at the event at the end of Infinity War would have been as impactful. Right. Like, I think that like, we have to mourn that loss for a year. As that guy said on that video, we have to mourn the dusting of Groot and the dusting of Bucky and whoever else. I really want to talk about some of the good parts of this movie. So what do you got for that?
Yes. Well, I loved the way that they handled the locations.
Mm-hmm.
Like you talked about how they went in and they would move around and they were on different teams. But when you went and saw them at different spots, like, it was cool to see them in Europe in the train station or fighting across the small village. And then like, to see across the space donut, as they one time reference, where they're like traveling through space and they land on Titan, and to see like the Guardians go and help Thor. They pick him up and then like they split within themselves, and like Thor goes to Volmir. That's where the Soul Stone was. The Dying Star. I know. Yeah.
It's hard to say. I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it exactly. It's hard to say.
Where they forge the Stormbreaker.
Yep.
And like to see how they use the colors and they use the different ways to create within the Marvel Universe. I love that. I thought it was great.
Well, it's like you said earlier when we first started recording, it's like you have these different characters coming together for the first time in the history of the MCU, but like you're also bringing their background, their planets, their environments all into one. Like you have Wakanda, you have New York City, you have Europe, you have space, you have like, you know, they go to nowhere at one point. They're all Titan. They're all over the place with this movie. And I think it gives it relevance to the title Infinity War, because they're literally fighting everywhere. That whole, you know, you had started to bring it up, but at the beginning of the movie, when they catch up to Loki, Thor, and that group from Asgard, you know, the part where one of Heimdall's last, you know, acts before Thanos kills him was sending Hulk back to Earth. And, you know, when Hulk crashes into this, you know, the what is it called? The Sanctum Sanctorum. You know, he's like having a panic attack and he's going, he's coming, he's coming. And you know, Wong and Dr. Strange are like, who's coming? And he's like, Thanos. And then it like, it just goes boom right into the movie. And then it like, it sets up the whole battle in New York City. And then, you know, Tony's like, what the heck's going on? Why are all these, you know, the stones? And, you know, it's just such good pacing for a movie that has so much going on.
I know, like there's a lot of movies where it's like there's too much going on, or the pacing is too slow, or that it's too quick of a movie. Like I know that for the Marvels, a lot of people did not care for the Marvels. A lot of people were like, oh, like it's, and I'm like, listen, it's a short movie, and it was filled with great writing. Like it's not going to be my top 10, but I enjoyed it. Now, does every movie going to be the absolute best? No, and we have to understand that. But like this movie had such great pacing and had such great writing, and the Russo brothers just crushed it. So I agree with you on that one.
Well, I mean, like, cause like, if you think about it, like, you know, I don't know, going frame by frame, for example, like they start out in space, they end up in New York, they end up in Europe, they're in Wakanda, space happens, you know, they're going back and forth from space to Titan. I'm sorry. Titan to Wakanda, kind of back and forth, all while Thanos is grabbing all these stones, and he knows the last stone's on Earth, so he gets to Wakanda. He has to get the thing off of Vision. This is kind of a random question, but like, what do you think about the order in which he got the stones? Like, Vision was the last one that he had to get, and you know, the whole like, we knew that Thanos was going to get all the stones, but like this whole inner turmoil between like Wanda and Vision, like Wanda, come on, kill him. Get that stone out of him. And Shuri is like trying to get it off of him in Wakanda. And it's like, you know, it's not going to happen. So why are we even bothering here?
I would have been okay if Vision would have survived and they would have been able to get it away. But then at that moment, one of the Black Order immediately like, the hockey slaps it and like gets it to Thanos.
Yeah, well, they do more explaining of that in the WandaVision series too, with
yes,
you know, how it came to be, and more the morning that we see in Phase 4. But yeah, I'll let you answer the question, but like the one beef I really did have was like, you know, he gets the Power Stone first, and then he gets the Tesseract, right? And then he goes to nowhere and he gets the power stone.
So power.
No.
Then so he starts with the power stone because that's what he used to tear apart the Asgardian ship. Then he gets the Tesseract from Loki. And then he goes for the
red one.
He goes, yep, the reality stone.
Yep.
He picks that up from nowhere. With
and then
the collector.
He gets the soul stone.
Then he gets the soul stone. Then he gets the time stone. And then he gets the mind stone.
The one thing that I wish that they would have told, and maybe they'll do this down the road. Who knows? Maybe when Bob Iger is no longer in charge of Disney. I thought I was going to get an amen out of you. I would have loved to see the story told, and you know, granted it was a 2.5 hour film, the story of how Thanos destroyed Xandar. And
oh yeah, I would have loved to have seen
like
that.
Kind of a post Guardians of the Galaxy,
like a deleted or like a post credit scene or a deleted scene or something.
Yes, I would have loved.
I think
to
it would
have
been.
That.
I think it would have been really cool because like Thanos was already in. From the beginning.
Right.
I think it would have been really, really cool had Thanos, like, instead of some of the really crappy, no dividend post-credit scenes that we got, I think it'd be really cool if we got Thanos' story over the years.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like how you said with Cap going back and, you know, returning the stones, it'd be cool to get, like, a Thanos origin story.
Yeah. You just get a Thanos origin story, but you don't even have to, like, do a whole lot. You could do like 2 minutes as a post credit scene of him destroying Xandar and like him walking into the building. And then like, you just see this massive explosion with the power stone or like while Ragnarok's going on, you could have done a post credit scene where he goes in and goes to Nindalavir.
I think that's it. Yeah. But I don't know how to say it. So I didn't want to butcher it.
Yeah. So, goes in and like you have Peter Dinklage and like he chops his hands off and then like shuts down the star like that. I think that would have been a really, really cool thing to see. And like, if you would have done like small moments to really build this character, because he was shrouded in mystery, and I'm not downplaying Thanos. I'm a massive Thanos fan. I think that he was done so well. But I think what would have been really, really cool is if they would have just planted more of his story. So that way we would have become more and more afraid when the time came.
So what was your favorite part of this movie?
Probably when Cap was in Wakanda and he's leading, leading the charge.
Okay.
And like the battle scene there, because when Thor shows up and there's that little banter of, I see you, you copied my beard. And they just kind of like banter back and forth, but like it's that, hey, I'm really glad to see you and I'm glad you're here with me. All right, let's keep fighting. And like he's leading this charge and he's willing to help pull the cap, and he's just like, you know, I'm willing to lay on the line for you guys. And I felt very much like that was so true to Cap's story. I loved that. That was just, and anything with Peter Parker. Anytime he would crack a joke, have you guys seen that movie Aliens? Like, I just like the one-liners and the small things. Like, I loved it. It was great.
You know that, he's like, you know, the one part in like The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh my gosh, Tony, you carbon date this kid? Or how old is he? Oh, I didn't carbon date him. Yeah, there's like just anything with Spider-Man is just always a fun ride. And then, like, Cap being one of my favorites, my all-time favorite characters. Like, it was done really, really well.
I think for me, like, to kind of piggyback off of what you said, you know, when Thor arrives in Wakanda, I think that's the best part of the entire movie. Because, like, you're talking about Cap leading the charge. They're kind of getting beat in the battle there. And then you hear this kind of this sound. And then Thor shows up with Rocket and Groot.
And he chucks Stormbreaker.
Well, that, but like, you know, Banner's like, you guys are in so much trouble now. And like, just Thor is just killing everything in sight. And he's like, bring me Thanos. And then they just, right? And then like, and then he lifts it up and he just, bam. Like, and then,
yeah.
And like, the one hope that I thought, hey, the Avengers are going to pull it out here. Thanos finally gets that last stone, and then, you know, Thor finally shows up and just the axe is just going like that at him, and he just, it hits him right in the chest, and you're like, oh, well, Thanos is toast. Not, because he's like, he should have went for the head.
Should have gone for the head.
Snaps. And
well, he snapped, and then he looks at him, and he's like, you should have gone for the head. And he like uses the time stone in a way that he just like disappears but leaves Stormbreaker.
Yeah.
Kind of like a slap to the face, like, you didn't get me.
Right. And, you know, in reference to Peter Parker, Spider-Man, I love in the beginning when they're fighting the Thanos' goons in New York City, and Peter Parker's, you know, spider sense is tingling, his hair stands up on his, you know, his arm.
Oh, that jumps, was such a beautiful moment.
And he jumps out of the bus, and he needs
Ned.
Yeah, why can't I ever think of his name? Ned, to make a distraction. He's like, we're all going to die. And of course, Stan Lee is in the bus, driving the bus. And that was his cameo for that movie. But like, when Peter finally catches up to Tony, he's like, hey, kid, where'd you come from? He's like, field trip. And he's like, what is this?
And he just, with Cole Obsidian, like, I think what was really cool about that was he's chucking the hammer thing down, and like nobody's business, Spider-Man just grabs it, and he's like, hey, Mr. Stark. like it was
kid,
just like,
hey, where'd you come from?
Just everything about Spider-Man, the MCU, I stand by this, and I'll live on this, and I'll die on this hill. Everything about the MCU Spider-Man, they've gotten right. There is not a one thing about Tom Holland's Spider-Man that I think that they've gotten messed up. I think that, like, from the writing and the joke telling and the snarkiness, like, and I've said this a million times, of Toby did a great Peter where Andrew did a great Spider-Man. And I think it was just the way they wrote it. And I think they got the right guys to write Spider-Man. So that way, like, he's going to take the loss, but he takes it personal enough that he is willing to change with it and make the adjustments, and he's willing to sacrifice, and he's willing to do the things he needs to. And it feels so much like a comic book is coming to life. Like, I absolutely love reading Spider-Man comics because Spider-Man is such a fun character, and it's a character you relate to. Like, Tony Stark is not a character I can relate to. I'm not rich. I don't get all the girls. Like, I'm not a womanizer. I'm not super, super smart. I don't have a Fortune 500 company. Like, there's none of that kind of stuff that I have. And like, I'm not in the military, so I'm not going to relate to Cap that same way. And so like, there's a lot of things that just really do great with Spider-Man. And they did him so right in Infinity War. And I was like, because Russo Brothers did Civil War, and I was like, okay, shoot, like, you guys might screw this up. Like, just please don't screw up Spider-Man. Please don't screw up Spider-Man. And then they continue his story, and especially coming off of Homecoming, like, Homecoming's such a great movie too, but everything about Spider-Man has just been so good. And I love the way they wrote him in.
So kind of the same question. I want to ask that question, then I want to rate it, and then we can wrap it up. If it's not like, what's the worst thing about this movie, but like, we talked about it, I think, with the Age of Ultron episode, if you could switch people out, who would you switch, or who would you add superhero wise that they didn't have in this movie up until this point?
Hawkeye.
Okay.
I would have brought Hawkeye in this film. The lack of Hawkeye really, like, you don't miss him too much in certain moments, but there's other moments that you're just like, I would have loved to see him just like calling out shots, like in the first Avengers movie where he's like, hey, Cap, you got someone on your six, like, coming in hot. Like, I think it would have been really cool to see that. And especially with his character progression, Hawkeye is one of my favorites. I absolutely love Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye, like, in the MCU. He just, from a character that the first time we meet him in Thor, just very plain, very generic, to where he's really not in the Avengers as much as the other characters are. Like, he just slowly just creeps in and just handles so well. I'm like, I watch Hawkeye every Christmas now. because I love the show, and I love the way that his character was. I think he would have been a great addition. I think Adam Warlock would have been a fun addition into it as well. not specifically the moron Adam Warlock that we've gotten, but the comic book accurate Adam Warlock, because of the ties to the Soul Stone. I think that that would have been a good addition, and especially with this comic that it's based off of, I really think that Adam Warlock would have been the one to go for. Do you have any thoughts to that one?
I mean, in real time, like, if, you know, considering the snap happens, would have loved to see what they do with it, would have done with Ant-Man.
That's fair.
You know, but he was on the West Coast. Not saying that that matters or anything, but, like, we talk about, like, with Daredevil and She-Hulk and stuff, like, how Daredevil's in New York and She-Hulk's in on the West Coast. You know, same thing with Ant-Man. He's on the West Coast. Like, and it would have been interesting to see if they would have done anything with him.
It would have been cool to see the post-credit scene from Ant-Man and the Wasp kind of redone a little bit, where you don't see Janet and maybe you don't really explain it, and then, like, you just throw him in there, and then that's what happens, where you explain what happens to them. But I mean, whatever happens.
I mean, there's only a couple of folks that weren't in Infinity War. Like, to be honest, there were only a couple, right?
Yeah, the Ant-Man family and Hawkeye family.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the only two superheroes and their families that were in other films that were not present for this one.
Because we hadn't got the Captain Marvel yet. We hadn't, some of the characters that we see in Phase 4, like, you know, Moon Knight and others, Shang-Chi, some of those folks haven't even been introduced at this point. But, I don't think that they, given how they told the story with the snap happens at the end of Infinity War, we go into Ant-Man and the Wasp, they get snapped at the end of that film, you know, and then it's perfect how they set up Endgame when Scott comes back and they realize, oh, we can go to the quantum realm. This is how we can figure this out. This is how we can make time travel possible to fix it, to get the stones, to do everything, to make everything right in the universe again. So I don't think it was necessary to have him in Infinity War, and it made sense how they wrote it. But it would have been cool to see how they would have done it had they not went that route, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think that this movie just, it's so good. All right, time to rate it, because we could just keep gushing. So 1 to 10, 10 being...
9.5.
Really?
Well, you want a 10?
I'm giving it a 10.
Okay, great. 10. Two tens.
20. Two tens. Okay.
It's a 20.
It sure is. No, I the only thing that I think was wrong with this film in any capacity was just the lack of storytelling that I wish I would have known what happened to the Avengers Tower. Like, yeah. They didn't really get into the mansion yet. Like they were kind of, I mean, they did with Civil War, but like they were still building locations. And I think that the Avengers Tower, especially like as I'm like in my Lego room looking at the Avengers Lego Tower, like it's such an iconic piece, and everything about Marvel has been set at certain iconic places. I just wish I would know what happened to that. Like, I don't think it's going to be the Baxter Building based off of what we're hearing with the new Fantastic Four rumors. I think it'd be a perfect Oscorp. Genuinely, I think that it would be fantastic as an Oscorp.
Where was Professor X's School of Learning?
Gifted youngsters. Yeah. Well, and I'm okay if that's on a completely different Earth and the mutants aren't on Earth yet. And then post Secret Wars, like everything kind of gets merged.
No, I was talking about within Infinity War.
Oh, because I don't think they're on our Earth yet. I don't know that mutants are really a thing on 616.
Where's Deadpool?
Yes. Yes. 100%. So
he would have just walked through Wakanda and literally just chopped everybody up and shot everybody.
He would have been attacked, and those outriders would have been like pulling at him, like dogs just pulling on each limb. And he would just kind of look at everybody like, I'm okay. You guys keep fighting them. Like, he would have just had some, like, fun stuff with them.
So, yeah, I would definitely rate this a 10 out of 10. That's one of the few 10s I think I've ever given.
No, I was like, we've never really given 10s, I think maybe once or twice in, what, 3 years almost. So I genuinely believe that, you know, this one really deserves the 10. So, all right. Well, Micah, can you believe we're almost at 3 years? That in a couple of weeks, we're going to hit our 3-year mark here at Nerd Talk?
Time flies.
I know. I can't believe it. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. And thank you so much for almost 3 years of hanging out with us every week and all these episodes. We've had a lot of fun. We're going to continue pushing stuff out. But we are just so, so thankful. So check us out for our 3rd year anniversary coming up. We're really excited for that episode. And we will catch you next time here on Nerd Talk.